traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit energycitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.
I feel bad for him. I genuinely, from the bottom of my heart, like not saying it in a talking shit way, I feel bad for him. I think he's a sorry, miserable, insecure, unhappy person.
He's not.
I think he is deep down.
So wait, let me get this straight. So because your videographer David's not here, you promoted your girlfriend to videographer?
She's
on David duty.
Yeah, basically.
Just
she has to hit a certain quota every day on taking Snapchats or we can't eat. It's not she can't eat, we can't eat.
Just talking to the mic. You can wear the headphones. By the way, look at my, look at Caleb. What dog did y'all feed these to before you gave them to me? They're absolutely destroyed, mauled pair of headphones.
Well, we can't even afford a new pair now with the current viewership.
Yeah, we dig it. Yeah, but bro, we had a 13-year-old. Like, come on, we're putting her on. She's 13.
You have to admit, bro, podcast is ass now, bro.
Yeah, it is. It's
we don't
over.
Hang out as much anymore. That's part of it. I'm going to just come straight out. I'm going to come out of the closet right now on this podcast.
And what do you have to say about Mike coming out of the closet?
Mike's really sad that you guys haven't been hanging out.
Wow, she got serious. Thanks, babe. Talk, get
sounds,
closer to the mic.
This sounds really weird. I don't like the...
Hey, babe. This is what she wakes up to. Everybody, hey, babe, time to get up.
No, it sounds weird.
I can't imagine waking up next to Mike and anything sounding worse than that.
It's pretty great.
Oh.
It is.
That's good.
It's good waking up next to you too, babe.
Oh, that's
Yo,
cute.
Get your stupid cinematographic camera out of here, Kevin.
It is true, because from the 2-shot, it's just right in the middle. It's probably blocking a little bit. We appreciate you, though, Kev. Showing.
But also, Viva Mexico.
Viva Las Chivas.
Yeah. Biggest piñata in the world. Guinness Book World Record.
2 records one day we broke with that giant piñata. That cost $1 million. That prime piñata cost $1 million. And what do we do with it now?
Nothing, bro.
Nothing.
Did it break?
Yeah, we opened it from the bottom.
What came out of it?
You should have gotten a bulldozer to hit it and break it like an actual piñata.
Yeah. It's metal. It's like it took like 6 months to build. It was
Wait,
a serious
toys
project.
Came out of it?
So for a piñata to be considered an actual piñata, you need toys, candy, and toys and candy.
Kev, is that toys? Like, what kind of toys came out of it?
We had bouncy balls.
You know who would have liked
we
that?
We spent $60,000 on inflatable balls, dude.
Oh, my God.
That's what I use testosterone for, to get these inflatable balls.
Nice. So wait, you're sad we aren't friends anymore?
Yeah, I mean... I called manager Jeff about it the other day. I'm gonna be up front, bro. You don't talk. We don't talk anymore. We don't talk anymore. It's like you. And
you
it's,
call
and
him,
honestly,
you call him pal.
Oh, she's gonna yo. You're gonna really start diving in. This was a big topic on the last Jeff FM. I could read some of your recent texts. I'm like, yo, bro. Yo, what's the plan tonight? Blah blah blah. So on and so forth. Can't wait to see you. Not sure, boss. No idea, pal.
You're the boss.
Let you know soon, chief. Like, bro, you pet turn me so bad, bro. Like, step away from how bad do you want to call me buddy right now? Be honest. How bad do you want to call me buddy?
I would never, bud. You're my buddy. You're my pal. You're my fucking pal.
But we should make time because, bro, this before the greatest boxer of all time comes on, this show was built around friendship. The vibe on this show, the demeanor of this show was built around our shared stories together and the friendship that we had. And now that we just haven't been seeing each other as much, it's I think that might be part of the issue. I think that might be part of the problem. And we'll get to the other part of the problem, which is we don't do red pill content, which I want to start with today. No. Yo, go get a sandwich and get out of here. I'm completely kidding.
No.
You're going to be going through a fucking drought real soon.
Let's go.
Babe, I'm kidding.
Let's go.
We're not doing red pill content. Thanks, Sarah.
Thank you so much for your input.
What do you want to say about
it's
the
because,
friendship?
So? No, because, listen, I made a PowerPoint when I moved to Puerto Rico, trying to convince all my friends to move to Puerto Rico, and I thought one slide would get Mike for sure, and it was that the community that I live in has a lazy river. I thought that was like my checkmate. And it just wasn't enough. And he stayed in LA, got his car totaled, gets reamed by the government. And
so I just sent another seven figs yesterday. The one thing I will say is when you asked me to do that, it was during a real upswing in my YouTube career. I said to myself, I need to stay planted. I can't be this yes man forever. I need to stay planted. I need to make a way for myself.
Well, how's that
and
going?
And now 2 years later, I fell off just like this podcast, dude. All right? And I'm pissed about it. And I, you know what? I'll say it right now. I'd like to see that PowerPoint again.
I don't have it. It's gone. It's deleted. I will say, as a YouTube veteran, which is what I am at this point, which is crazy. Like, I'll be going to these events and stuff, and people will be like, man, I've been watching you since Vine. I'm like, Vine? That was, oh my God, that was 10 years ago. I've been doing this forever. The one thing I've gotten really good at is not being tied to the view count.
Yeah.
You just can't be, bro. You just can't be. It's every creator has their ups. Every creator has their downs. And also, just because of a video doesn't perform like, you know, some previous ones, doesn't even mean it's a down. It just, you know, maybe it's something our audience or the internet was not as interested in, but people are still interested in.
Well, you're
talking about getting 113,000 views on a video, and that's affecting you. That's still so many people watching us talk to a 13-year-old who's also fantastic. But we put this young woman on who's like deserves, you know, everything she's working for. And I find pride in that.
I was also being jovial. I'm joking around about it.
You're
but
shitting
I,
on Jazzy. Nah, I'm reading between the
nah,
lines.
No, but I want to talk. But I want to talk to Jake about this. Actually, a good like segue into bringing him on, because you guys broke out of that world where views matter at all, and you guys exist in the mainstream now. So I think that's a pretty good fucking segue for the potentially greatest boxer of all time.
He's existing in the mainstream? No, he is the mainstream. He's the greatest boxer of all time. This generation's Muhammad Ali. Ladies and gentlemen, it's my brother, champion Jake Paul. How are you, man?
Hey. Congrats.
Is Carl here? Does Carl have my belt? Is he here with
Carl
my belt?
Carl Jung, the philosopher?
Is he coming? Say again? He's not. Carl's not bringing it? Can you hit him up? I feel like a bad U.S. champ. I left it in Florida. I lost my belt, and Carl got it.
Are you talking about the?
Can you have
the belt of the Americas?
Yeah, I lost
Randy Orton has it.
Does he?
He took it. He stole it from you.
I'll RKO the shit out of him. He said he would be here.
Oh.
Your headphones too, huh?
I'm just gonna go without them.
No. Really?
Thanks for joining us, bro.
Jake, do you think that we
did I ruin it? Am I ruining the sit down?
Absolutely.
Put it on the other side. But it's the ears.
Yeah, have you ever done this before?
Why is your hat always so high now?
It's so high.
Highest hat ever.
Because I have a big head.
It's like a top hat.
It's a high hat.
And you don't got the two chains on today. I guess that somebody got to you with that little response to that picture.
What chains?
Man by the name of Rampage. Said that's not your thing, buddy.
Do you know what he's talking about?
No,
I don't either.
You know Rampage, the brawler?
Rampage Jackson?
Yeah. He responded to a picture of you wearing chains and said basically, yo, that's not your thing, buddy, because that's his thing.
Ah, got
those
it.
Those two
got
giant
it, got
chains
it.
That you were wearing.
Is that his thing?
Yeah, I think basically.
Sorry, I wasn't alive in the 1800s.
Damn. It's gonna rampage your ass.
Would you fight that man?
He'd fight anyone.
Yeah, what, like what, bro? Shh. Come on.
We've
already dusted up that whole roster.
That dusty ass roster for sure.
Like did he ever fight Silva?
I don't
know. What era is he from?
He was when we were growing up, first watching UFC. Rampage Jackson? Michael Jackson?
Legend. Iconic legend. That's the thing. Like when we
I know the name. I know the name. I know what he looks like, and I've seen him like knock people out, but I just, that's it.
But
like,
no, but we need to do better. I need to do better than that. We bring up these combat greats. I know it should be me too, but like, bro, come on.
I'm just saying,
dude,
the way you're throwing around even that word though, like combat greats. Like he has a cool nickname, and he punched through a door and talked
to
Ariel Helwani.
But how much does he mean to combat?
Couldn't tell you. But how much does Jake Paul mean to combat at the moment? Everything. I mean, you are boxing. I'm so proud of you, Jake.
Thank you, man.
You hit Andre August with an uppercut from the heavens.
Man, I was getting like, I was, going on this like roller coaster of emotions after the fight, but I got to watch her speech in the ring back, and it was just like surreal. And I don't know. I just want to say I love you.
I love you.
It's so crazy, and you have a good way of like putting it from a different perspective, and like, but also knowing the impact. And yeah, it just means a lot. Your words are very powerful. So that was really awesome. And yeah, one of the best nights of my life. For sure. I'm going to remember it forever. Just everything, A to Z, the whole year coming to a crescendo. It was just surreal.
You made us all so proud and easy as your family and friends watching it. Like when you got in there in one round, just clocked this dude. Who, by the way, like I don't understand. Like he's a 10-1 boxer. And I think I've seen some people like trying to even discredit that. But also he's like a 3-time Golden Gloves champion.
Yeah, like 30 amateur fights.
So does that mean you could have been a Golden Gloves champion?
I would destroy all those guys.
Really?
Yeah, 100%.
What went wrong with that in his strategy that he left himself so open in round one? He just wasn't able to like because you understand your tap.
You could hear the commentator like Andre's got to stop dipping down. He dips down and you knock him out.
Literally, it was Tyron Woodley that was saying that. Yeah,
Tyron knows. He's talking from experience.
Wait, actually, yeah, they just put all the people he's knocked out on the commentary booth now.
Yes, Andre August is going to be back to commentate. Yeah, man. So it was really a range and distance thing, which is what I'm getting really good at managing. So like he couldn't land a punch and I was hitting him hard as fuck to the body and just jabbing him up. And just instantly when you're getting hit from all angles, you don't know what's going on and you can't get to your opponent because they're managing the distance. You're just going to be like, what the fuck do I do? So he starts like dipping down to dodge the punches. And I was coming over the top. I see he kept dipping down. I was just like, all right, here comes the uppercut.
So one thing I noticed as a spectator who kind of understands this, well, I understand the sport, like pretty fucking well. But I always, you know, thought in my head, just maybe because of my ego and also like I believe in my boxing skill. Like if me and Jake fought, like it would definitely be a fight. But I have to say purely because I'm prideful that I would win. But on your podcast, Jasper asked me, he's like point blank, like, yeah. Do you think you could beat Jake? I'm like, fuck no. Yeah. Hell no. And after that performance, I realized why, I think. It's so clear now how technical of an understanding you have as a boxer that I simply lack. You're thinking, you're almost at 4D chess, I think. You're a much smarter athlete than I think people give you credit for.
100%. People, for many reasons. But yeah, after I brought in this new team, really third, and Jay Leon assisting, they're just like a boxing encyclopedia and really brought me back to the basic fundamentals and understanding of every little thing in the ring and not letting me make any mistakes and understanding why it's so important to do each and every little thing right and correcting a lot of the mistakes that I've made. And really that brought a full 360 understanding to like almost unlock all of the potential of every single move, punch, and things that I needed to do in the ring. So that's what people I think are starting to see after only two camps with them, right? Like
yeah.
We've been working together for 5 months and that's already the difference. So it's pretty crazy and I'm just falling more in love with what they call the sweet science, because that's truly what it is, and everything is interconnected. And it's scary
you're
for people.
People
should be scared. They should be very scared to the level of understanding that I'm attaining, because at the end of the day I'm more athletic than every single boxer in the whole entire sport and stronger than them.
That's a wild statement.
I don't think it's wild at
no,
all.
No, I'm not. It's just a ballsy statement. And I don't think concrete statement.
It is.
I don't think it's ballsy at all.
What do you mean by that?
Like just in pure speed, skill, reaction time, like all of these things, like
in all classes.
Just in athleticism, not boxing. Put us all in a 400 meter race. Put us all in a 100-meter.
In a football game.
In a basketball, pickleball, anything. I'm smoking all of them.
Bowling,
so what does that mean?
Pool?
Those aren't sports. So, but when you match this, when I get this skill.
Bowling's a sport.
It's a hobby.
Oh, goddamn.
It's a hobby. It's a game, a hobby.
Santa baby, the season for a fresh cut is finally here with the sponsor of today's show, Manscaped.
Ho, ho,
the leaders in below-the-waist grooming have just launched their fifth-generation performance package to help you avoid another silent night in the bedroom this year. Take care of your special snowflake with the Lawnmower 5.0 Ultra and watch your South Pole shine like never before. Get the best stocking stuffer of all by going to manscaped.com and using code Logan. 20% off plus free shipping. Mrs. Claus will thank you. Xmas gifts are hard. We all know that, but this one isn't. Manscaped is a one-stop shop for all your holiday needs. They have the perfect gift in the performance package 5.0 Ultra, which includes loads of perfect stocking stuffers. Anybody in the family have too much scruff? Look no further than Manscaped's Beard Hedger Pro Kit and Handyman Electric Face Shaver for all his facial hair needs. Again, that's 20% off and free shipping with code Logan at manscaped.com. That's 20% off plus free shipping with the code manscaped.com. Use the code Logan. Say ho, ho, ho to a well-groomed mistletoe with Manscaped. Back to
traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit energycitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.
Did you make August delete his Instagram? He deleted his Instagram. Jake, you knocked him out, but you ruined his life. You ruined his life. Like, do you like doing that? All these people that you knock out, they get regular jobs after, they quit the sport, they become family, like they have to go inward. Does that make you happy to know that you're out there destroying the livelihoods of people?
That's a loaded question. But
he's retiring. Jake.
But I will
professional boxer.
But also there's two sides of it, because he had the equal opportunity that I had to knock me out and to take everything from me and to turn his life and to turn himself into a millionaire if he could pull up one of the greatest upsets. So, and he's more experienced than me, so he should win. Like, I don't feel bad. You have more amateur fights than me. Like, what, are you not training as hard? What did you do wrong? Are you not focused? These are things that he has to look at. However, I don't enjoy that. I don't want these people to be miserable after. However, you can die in there. And my family's watching. All of these things are going on. I could be the embarrassed one at the end of the night. For sure. I don't give a fuck. If you're a grown-ass man and you have been doing this your whole life and you sign up for it, you know what the consequences are. And at the end of the day, I don't want him to be sad or fucked up or mentally, you know, distraught or go through anything or create any mental health issues. And I genuinely mean that. I don't wish that upon anybody. But you sign up for consequences and also the reward.
I met and got seated next to Vivek Ramaswamy, the presidential candidate who's been going viral on social media. I know you guys have made content in the past, but he had never been to a boxing fight before.
Yeah.
And I had to explain to him how real this was. So he's talking to me and he's seeing you get your hands wrapped.
Yes, yes.
Like, and he goes, wow, that guy wrapping his hands really knows what he's doing, huh? I'm like, yeah, yeah, man, he knows what he's doing.
That's all he does.
And he goes, you guys really, like, you really into this. You really take it serious. I'm like, Vivek, you could die in that ring. Yeah. Like, someone could die tonight. He goes, seriously? And I'm like, yeah, well, yeah, because in boxing especially, you can get knocked down, get your concussion, and have 10 seconds to stand back up. Now you have to fight and your, like, brain is partially bleeding. Like, it's a dangerous-ass sport.
He just leaves.
And it's not a joke, yeah.
No, you have to take it serious. And as entertaining as it can be, like, I think that's why you're able to fill these venues and people are so excited is because, like, everyone can feel how tense it is, but then you walk into a Christmas song.
Throw everyone off.
Yeah, yeah.
Mental warfare. I think it kind of worked, like, because it definitely threw them off. They're all walking out. His whole corner's, like, staring me down, and I'm just like, Merry Christmas. When I walk by him, I get in the ring. Like, it kind of disarms them because they're trying to get all fired up, and they're like, what's this kid's
What on the fuck crack or doing? Something.
What's, I've never seen this before.
For sure, in another life, you definitely were a crackhead. Yes. You have to. You look like it. You look like it could be.
It's
good
the
one.
Hat, yep. The hat. Are you starting to
hey,
bring?
Thanks, man.
Are you starting to bring some of that turning some of that confidence into fun in the ring and feeling like you can go in there and have a little bit more of a good time? We've talked to fighters in the past on the show who say, "I'm just going to go out there and have a good time." Are you starting to feel that confident, or are you still in war mode besides the Christmas song?
It's both. It's literally the 50-50, like my profile picture. It's like the love, which is the white side, and then the killer instinct, and just being a savage and bringing out all the darkness inside of me. So that's really what it is. But I perform the best when I'm just having fun,
loose, yeah,
messing around, joking, you know, talking some shit, dancing to Christmas songs, and not taking it all too seriously, but still being able to like go to those dark places if need be to fight through any adversity. And that's the number one thing my coaches say before I walk out is like, just remember to have fun. And I think that's why my worst fight was Tommy Fury, because I just wasn't having any fun. The camp was miserable. I was just so many things, right? So that's when the fun gets sucked out of anything in life. Like,
it sucks.
It's almost like, why are you even doing it?
It's like the funnest thing I saw content-wise, or one of the funner things this past week, was that that KSI speed fight, dude, that was planned at the exact same time as your car.
Did that happen?
Yeah.
They actually did it?
Yeah.
Damn.
At the exact same time as your car. Do you think that was pure coincidence?
Absolutely not. Obviously not.
He also wasn't super impressed with your knockout.
Of course, yeah. He does everything he can to discredit me.
Fuck.
Like, I, of course.
Sorry, dude. Because we need clips. Stop.
Of course.
Just sit there. Let him talk.
Wait a second. Okay. Did he say that?
Yeah. There was a clip of him talking. After the fight, I could pull it up and get this out.
Bro, you can't not be impressed. Like, come on.
Let me find it.
Yeah, like what more could I have possibly done?
Like, what? What?
But that's why he's losing fans, though. Is
no.
Because he is. No, like genuinely, he's losing fans. Like, people are like, bro, like.
No, he can't be, bro.
He is.
Well, but then who's going to buy Prime?
Bro, you're the one that carried it.
I'm just kidding.
You're the one that carried it the whole way anyways.
No, you can't say something like that. No, that's not
no,
true.
That's not true.
Regardless.
I told you obviously, this. Obviously, all right, if you have millions of fans and you lose, like, if you're starting to lose some, like, there's still millions of fans, but people are like, yo, this is, like, inauthentic anymore. You're just trying to, like, take away from this kid, and, like, you're just clearly saying this shit, and you're 30 years old and acting like this with your ego and making everything about discrediting this person. It's like, all right, dude, you know, grow up. I feel bad for him. I genuinely, from the bottom of my heart, like, not saying it in a talking shit way, I feel bad for him. I think he's a sorry, miserable, insecure, unhappy person.
He's not.
I think he is deep down. And you know better than everyone, bro, that anyone can put on a facade and go about their lives and be in a terrible spot and a terrible position. And just like you were pushing through the Japan moments, but still were podcasting and vlogging, but deep down you were hurting and struggling super bad, bro.
Really,
and so he could be as happy and joyful and be around you and for 2 or 3 days when you guys hang out for commercials, but he might go back to his thing. And I'm pretty sure, bro, he's just like, to be that insecure and miserable at 30 years old to try and do these things, like,
can I play this real
it's
quick?
It's sad. Oh, it's no, genuinely
can I,
sad.
Can I just play this clip just so I don't get out of context here?
Shocked. No. Like, we all know that Jake just looks for super easy fights, and he fought a cab driver this time. So yeah, it is what it is. I don't really care about him. I didn't even know he was fine. I didn't even know he was fine at the same time as me. So yeah, I'm shocked.
It's such a lie. He's just a fucking liar. And people in this day and age respect authenticity more than anything. And we all know that it's complete bullshit. A cab driver who's been doing it his whole entire life, you know, 3 times Golden Gloves champion. And it's just like,
does he drive a cab though?
Is any of that true?
No. No.
That's actually...
He might have to
if
now.
If there's no truth to the cab driver claim, then him saying that's actually kind of funny. That's a ridiculous thing to say.
That's like a... No, it's out of context. It's a thing in boxing that people say about fighters. Oh. That's like a thing.
Like a bag of milk. Like yeah. that. So, okay. So I'm going to be completely honest with you. I don't care about influencer boxing anymore. I am only invested in your rise. I personally believe that influencer boxing has seen its day. I don't care anymore. I don't care about any of the fights. This is just me personally. I'm sure there are some people out there who do. Your ability to break out and to now try to make a run for it in a solidified and credible manner it interests me and intrigues me. That said, if the Jake Paul KSI fight were to happen, I would watch that fight. After the knockout this past weekend, are you closer or further away from that fight ever happening?
Further, always further. He's not going to do it, and I've said it since the beginning of time. He wants to talk about everything except actual negotiations to make the fight happen. And the more serious I take it, the more scared he's going to get. And that's point blank, period.
I need y'all to fight and then make up. So you can join
Prime.
Like quickly.
You and him did it. You fought.
Well, that's what I'm saying. It
took a few years.
Yeah, it's possible. It's possible. Like life has a weird way of shaping out, and who knows what could happen, you know?
Yeah, but I mean, he's not going to fight me.
We'll see. We'll see.
So, you know, it is what it is. And at the end of the day, I just don't think he's a good person.
Damn.
I don't know him to the fucking heart. You know, I've spent some time with him. You spent a bunch of time with him. I don't get that impression having spent time around him. I'm sure you don't either, obviously, because you wouldn't be in a fucking business with him if that was the case.
No, I have to strongly disagree. You don't know him. And just like he doesn't know you. And I've said this before, bro, KSI is not JJ. In my head, those are like two different things, two different entities. Like JJ, the person is
very different.
Is not KSI, the internet.
Not different, just not as animated.
Not nearly. It just I also think when and he knows this when he is in KSI land, he can reach a level of confidence and power that I'm not sure like JJ, the FIFA gamer, would have. I believe, and I could be incorrect. But regardless, dude, whatever you do, if it's him or not, people are watching. And I know you have someone else in your sights. You've planned 2024 out somewhat in advance, and I know how far ahead you think. Any super fights coming up, or are you sticking with I'm going to prove people wrong for
now? Yeah, no, there's big fights, conversations happening behind the scenes. It just comes down to a matter of, again, people actually wanting to do it, and
it's probably getting harder and harder to get people to sign
it
now.
Is
dude your kid's favorite athlete.
That's crazy.
Some kid caught me. He dropped a note off at the door we were staying at, and I was running by him. I'm like, what are you doing here? Like, don't come by the house. He's like, I'm sorry, Jake's just my favorite athlete. And I was like, he's a sweetheart. What do you want me to say to him? He's like, he's my favorite athlete, and everyone was saying that he wouldn't win, and I'm believing him. And like, dude, you're really inspiring a lot of people.
Well, I think it's because the story is super relatable. And that's the goal with all of this, right? I think all these other athletes, it's like, oh, you're 6'8". You could jump 45 inches in the air. You were, you know, gifted at birth. You know, you've been doing it your whole life. Or even if they're small, it's like their dad was the basketball coach and made them do drills since they were 5 years old. And they're maybe only 5'10", but they've been doing it for 20 years, so they have the best handling. This story is for the kids that maybe wake up one day and want to completely reinvent themselves to maybe become an athlete. Or whatever it is that they want to do in life that they didn't think was possible since they hadn't been doing it their whole life. And that is me with this story, showing up in the gym, looking like a fucking idiot, you know, no muscle, off of Disney Channel. This kid's never going to, you know, do anything in this sport. He'll never become anything, blah, 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 to 3 years and 9 months later being at the pinnacle and top of the sport and rising in skill level on a day-to-day basis to become world champion. And I think that is more powerful than any other sports story that I've seen, because they're just not relatable. It's like, okay, cool, yeah, I'm watching this, but like, you're still 300 pounds and 6'9" and
your
dunking
thing
on people.
Your thing, this, I think it finally worked. I don't think there's really anybody left, any of those naysayers left now. I just don't think there can be. I don't think you can be watching from the outside as either an athlete, a boxing analyst, a commentator, and be willing to have to stick your foot in your mouth that hard on the, at least Jake Paul's a credible threat and a credible athlete narrative.
So do you,
it just,
so what do you have to say to KSI then, who's still?
No, I disagree. I disagree wholeheartedly. See, here's the thing. This is one of the issues we have in today's day and age. And this is not having to do with either of you guys. I can like.
Traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit energycitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.
KSI as a person and heavily disagree with one of his opinions and takes and agree in a major way with 95% of his other ones. That's completely okay. There's no animosity there. There's no hatred, nothing but complete love and respect for the person. But I can say that I think every time he says it now, you could see it by way of the comments. You could see it by way of the reactions of his peers, that his takes on you as a credible fighter and a credible threat are not, they're falsehoods now. So yeah, I would challenge him completely on those opinions. What 100%. That's obvious at this point.
I do wish people from a more macro perspective can kind of accept that you can like someone and disagree with what they have to 100%. Say, think, or do. There's a world where that's possible. But right now, everything seems so divisive and polarizing. Like, it's not even as fun to make content anymore just because of how much division people are, like, waiting for.
We just talked about this at length yesterday.
And hoping for. It's
the
sad.
World's favorite type of content. You guys both came up making fun, entertaining, loose content. I you know, drew inspiration from you guys and started to do the same thing. There's a reason why a lot of that content's not working anymore. There's a reason why probably Casey and Roman and all these guys don't like making content anymore, because the world currently has a fervor and a hunger for political genocide review, school violence, real divisive, or not always divisive, but just really heavy stuff. And of course there's a place and time for that content, but it has become the mainly desired type of content. And if you don't like making that type of content, I don't always want to go and talk about that type of stuff, about genders and all that type of stuff. I think there's a place and time for it, but there's also used to be a much larger appetite for just simple entertainment, for just having a good time, kicking it with your friends. And I think, obviously, you guys are recently, as of the past week, in a dialogue and a conversation with one of the bigger commentators in that space, Andrew Tate. And I want to talk to you guys about this, because I know you talked about it on your show for a few minutes. Also combat sports guys, him and his brother Tristan. I want to bring an unbiased angle to this. I'm going to stay right in the middle, and I want to break down what an MMA fight looks like between Jake Paul, Logan Paul, Tristan Tate, Andrew Tate. There's with the three main categories involved, which is upper body or hand striking, kicking, and wrestling and or grappling, and what that looks like. So let's start with actual fist striking. who, that's fine. You can have that opinion or that thought.
I'm just laughing because, like, how do you want to do this?
Yep.
You're going to go.
I want to do a breakdown.
You're going to go striking, grappling.
I know striking kicking? Generally, that striking generally would be hand and feet combined, but I think it's important that we break it down from a boxing, a kickboxing, and a jiu-jitsu standpoint.
Before we answer, are you even interested in this conversation? Because, like, my, not to hijack the question, because, like, I'm sure some people would be interested in this, is like, we talk a lot. We say a lot of stuff. We got big ass mouths. We also do a lot.
Yeah.
And we back up a lot of the shit we say, or at least give it our best effort. Yeah. Right? As it stands, the other guys, they just talk a lot.
Yeah.
It's a lot of talking, and they're fantastic at it. It's why they have a following. They can be magnetic with words, and it draws a lot of people in.
Well, Andrew Tate was a kickboxing world champion.
Well, he was.
Completely understood, but I'm just saying, I want to play an unbiased standpoint here, so before we call them simply talkers, and also, there is some combat experience. And he trains every day.
World champion in kickboxing is such a seems like subjective sort of thing, because how did no one in the kickboxing world, actual champions that I know who this guy was? No one's ever heard of him. The guys he beat are 1 in 54. Like Dylan Danis was a 4-time world champion in brown belt. So there's still people out there who are significantly better than him.
So is there different like credibilities and different?
Yeah, there's different all types of different belts, and in a lot of
regardless, let's just call him a skilled kickboxer for means of this conversation.
Yeah,
if that makes sense, and who still trains on a daily basis, right?
Yeah.
So, where were you going?
I was just going with this. Like, we can sit here and talk all day, but that seems kind of pointless to me. Like, I don't.
Well, let's have a theoretical conversation about it.
Yeah, this is why I didn't call anyone out in the ring after my fights. Because I can call all these people out, but these fucking people don't want to fucking fight me. So it is kind of annoying.
We play video games where Scorpion goes up against Reptile and they spit on each other. Let's just assume this conversation is a theoretical or fun discussion that never takes place.
Yeah, so striking. I mean, who's facing who, right? So is it a tag team?
Yeah, how does that work? How does that work? It would have
to be a new format in MMA.
No, they have 2-on-2 MMA, but I think it's tag team, I think. I don't know.
We got to go to Russia?
They do that. They do like 6-on-6
Florida. Florida would let us do it.
No way.
But
this can't be that tactical. I'm just asking simple questions. So from the upper body hand striking situation, part of it, you guys clearly have the power and the experience to win that portion, correct?
If it were boxing, absolutely. If it were kickboxing, he'd probably best us. Like if it was solely kickboxing,
that's what I was
gonna say. How would he not? How would
it's
he
a
not?
Completely different.
That's insane.
I don't
kickboxing.
MMA. No.
It's MMA. I think he's kind of clunky on his feet.
His guard ain't great, and he's a reactive counterpuncher.
His chin is wide open in the air.
He leans back. Yeah, you throw some big punches, you'll get caught. But wait, if it's MMA, I mean, dog.
So you guys, the reason I'm asking is I'll just say it for you. You guys take fist striking and you have a wrestling background.
Wrestling's better.
He has a kickboxing background and potentially maybe, I don't know, maybe more MMA experience. He probably rolls around.
He has MMA fights.
Correct.
Yeah.
So that's where the...
And really we're talking about Andrew here. Like Tristan's not really in this equation. Like,
well, the way they describe it, it would be.
Yeah, but that's like the light work, you know, like we'll take that out real fast and then...
By the way, without a question, for anyone doubting that, that's fucking insane. Like,
are they bigger than you?
I think.
Are they really? Tristan's size?
Yeah.
6'5".
Yeah.
Somebody said 6'5", 240.
Tristan's like taller than Andrew. I think he's like 6'2", and Andrew's like 6 foot. But Tristan's like heavy. Tristan's probably like 230, 240.
That's
big. Yeah.
Bigger they are, the harder they fall.
Wait, that's Jake. That's big. I'm 6'2.5", 215 for reference. That's he and obviously muscle weighs more, but like that's a big boy.
Who cares, Mike?
No, I'm not saying it like that. I'm just talking.
Well, then what are you saying?
It's just a structural conversation, like an engineer or some sort of contractor. It's just interesting that he's that big of a guy. Okay, so
this is a silly combo.
All right. So what?
My dad could beat up your dad if this happened, but if this didn't happen and it was like this, this how it would happen.
It's silly. Like that's why I think it's fun
to have those kind of conversations, those theoretical conversations.
But the conversations,
the sound guy's laughing. He likes it.
They'd solely be conversations for months, potentially years. Like we gave him an offer.
Yeah, there's one thing
to do. You can
10 mil for Andrew, 10 mil for Tristan, 10 mil for you, 10 mil for me. But
here's what they'll say:
I don't need this for the money. You're gonna have to slap $50 million for me even to get out of bed, but if you have money,
then why is it about the money?
What if there was a second? Are you guys confident enough so that if they ask for something that was more than the money, would you guys be willing to devote to that?
Like what?
You guys have to
pink slips.
No. You guys have to start to support the Tate Academy. No, all right, not that. No. I was serious, but you wouldn't do that. But like, you guys have to delete your Instagrams.
Fuck yeah! Who gives a shit?
Yeah, I'm not gonna lose. So
anything. Your terms.
That's
your terms. Whatever. Like, it shouldn't be about the money. It should be solely for entertainment and to figure out, after all, who's really about it. And we're telling you, we'll do it. But it's not going to happen.
Dude, if that undercarded Musk, Zuckerberg, we're talking about the greatest event in the history of mankind. More viewership for that. I don't know if it would beat the World Cup with Messi. But it would be
I gotta say something. I gotta say something. The Chiefs won. The Chiefs beat the Patriots.
That's like beating the Pop Warner team at your fucking high school.
Let's go. And here's why that's important.
It's kind of crazy that like Tom Brady left, and then like they just fell apart. And there was always like, is it Belichick or is it Brady that is the reason for their massive success?
They're 3-11.
And then Brady kind of showed that it was him.
Well, regardless that the Chiefs beat a tomato can ass team, sorry, Boston. I am
honored
to say that Prime has signed Pat Mahomes.
Wow.
Prime has signed Patrick Mahomes.
That's sick.
Two-time Super Bowl champion, Super Bowl MVP.
That's crazy.
To become a Prime athlete. I cannot believe it. We were going to announce last week, but they had that play called back. One of the best plays I've ever seen in football. Travis Kelce, 1,000 IQ throw lateral to Tony to catch to score the touchdown, and it got called back. Unfortunately, they had the victory. It's offensive offsides. Like, sucks. Dagger to the heart. But we couldn't announce last week, so I can announce it this week.
You had to hold the announcement for a victory?
Yeah.
You didn't want to do it? Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, of course.
It was bad timing.
Man, shit. Sorry.
It was poor. It was poor. Yeah, it was
bad timing.
So we met Patrick Mahomes. The dude is just... he's a gem. I don't know how else to say it. Just such a sweet, down-to-earth, like, humble human being. And afterwards, I found out that his contract was $500 million for 10 years. I said, wow. And I knew he made a lot of money because he had this new Rolls, the Spectre.
Yeah,
it's like, it's electric. Or
yeah, the all EV.
Yeah. And I was like, this is crazy. Like, how much is this? And he goes,
I don't know.
Bro, he's one of the biggest... he's one of the biggest athletes in the world current right now.
Yeah.
And you guys signed him. Yeah. Now you have him, you have Erling, you have sports clubs. It's
we made some crazy content. I got to show KSI a little bit of my All-American, All-State linebacker skills. We had him run a post.
Insane.
And I said, I'm going to hit you. And boy, did I hit him. He never played American football. Yeah, welcome to America, dude. That's why when we sit on this podcast with Erling and people are like making fun of me for calling soccer. It's soccer. It's soccer. In Europe, I call it football. But when I'm here, I play football.
Well,
I play football.
What's funny is that people like from the UK hate on Americans calling it soccer, but they're the ones that came up with that term.
No way.
And you can go back and figure that out in the history books.
Well, let's talk history.
You can go back in the history books.
Yeah.
It is weird, though. I will say it's odd that we call the pigskin American football, because why is it called football?
So a division.
Is the football's a foot long?
Is that accurate? Yeah. Well, no, because you say shit.
No, hold sure? on.
You probably also tell your girls your dick is a foot long.
But yeah. The game of American football starts with a foot and a ball.
Oh, because of kickoff. Yeah, but that seems like something, like you can come up with something for anything. That seems ridiculous.
Yeah.
Because it's clearly thrown with a hand.
Just reverting back to this last topic, just reverting in general. Did you see the UFC fights last night?
Yeah, some of them, yeah.
You see the championship?
Yeah.
Leon Edwards, Colby Covington?
Yeah.
Did you see Colby in the ring say that he thought he won the fight?
Yeah, he's out of his mind.
Okay.
But we already knew that.
He started
right?
throwing his hands up in the
air. It's embarrassing. Like what? You feel bad for people like that.
He goes, "There's not a scratch on me."
He's bleeding off of his nose. There's like an inch long scratch.
What does he do now? Because I was very invested in the outcome of that fight because of how I want to like ask you guys a little bit about when shit talking goes wrong. I mean, he said some He said some pretty fucked up shit, dude, about a dead person, which
not just a dead person.
Yeah, Leon Edwards' father.
Murdered, his murdered father.
Correct.
And he's using it for entertainment, to get people to buy into the fight, but when you double and triple down on something like that, you start to question if you're really trying just to sell the fight, or you're just an actual shithead douchebag who doesn't deserve this title shot for at least the fourth time. This is Colby's third shot at the title. I believe.
Gotta be his, I mean, last, right?
I mean, who, you know, especially with a performance like that, like, embarrassing. And then to say that you thought you won the fight, I'm sorry. You're a moron. And this is what...
He tried to add some clarification to why he said that about, with the you know, perceived fact that his dad was, like, a drug dealer or whatever, and a bunch of shit that, from his past, that I don't know where the sources are for that. But is there a line when it comes to shit talking, especially if you're... I guess it doesn't matter, but especially if you're not going to win. I mean, you're seeing it with Strickland and Sugar as well right now. They unleashed some really, really nasty shit on each other. And Sugar took some deep digs at Strickland's abusive past, from his father. I mean, there's some really nasty shit going on in the UFC right now. And it's like if you write checks like that and you don't cash them, what does that do? Like, Trump walked out of the arena while Kobe was giving his speech. Oof. Bro. Like, he didn't even let him finish.
I mean, it was embarrassing. It was a Trump dick riding parade for Kobe. And I think he was trying to ignite the parts of the audience that will woo for Trump no matter what. But even they were like, yo, you're a moron. And I want to let you talk because you are the guest. But I had a thought. I think there should be a newly classified mental illness that we got to look into called MDD, mild delusional disorder. I think delusion is extremely common nowadays, for whatever reason. People are delusional, and not just because you're in character trying to sell a fight. You really are not living in the same reality that everyone else is.
Oh, yeah, they are. They're selling. They're selling. Do you want to know who deserves the prize of mild delusional the most? The audience. The people that are watching Kanye rant about the pyramids and fucking Kansas and the Illuminati and all this shit. Not saying he's wrong about all of it. But he goes on these 7-minute rants about everything, the Jews and the Zionists and this and that and all of this stuff. And you see these people on Twitter. Every single thing Kanye just said is right. Every single thing Kanye just said is right. It's crazy to imagine that in 5 years we'll look back at this rant and know that everything he said was 100% right. Mild delusional disorder.
That's STD. That's severe delusional.
Severe delusional. Bro, Kanye is going to be right about it. It's the same thing. It's the Alex Jones thing. When we had Alex Jones on the show and he talked about a million things. Even a broken clock is right 2 times a day. If you say the water's making the frogs gay, they're going to come out with a vaccine that's going to hurt people. They're going to do this. They're going to do that. They're going to do this. You know, remember I went on that rant? The walls are growing lambs. You're going to be right about something.
Something, yeah.
You have to be right about one of those things. So, but like I said, the onus is on the audience. Right now, there's this massive swath of social people who, if you go on a rant that's anti-government, anti-corporation, or anti-systematic, you know, society, you're right regardless of what you say. You're just right. You're just right. It doesn't matter. Like, if I say some shit right now about Biden, I'm right. It doesn't matter if it's true or not. It's just that's what those people want to hear. So I don't know how that ties in. I guess I'll bring it back a little bit. Colby seems like one of those people. Colby seems like one of those people that's saying shit to sell shit. Strickland, on the other hand, seems to be really about it. Like, when Strickland talks, it seems like he's talking from his soul. Like, did you see the video of him going out and pulling a gun on the dude that was drunk in his driveway?
Yeah.
Did you see that?
Yeah, he lives for those moments.
Strickland seems like a pretty bad guy. Not bad, but like a badass.
Well, he's just like mentally completely broken, like, from his childhood, that, and it's all he talks about. And he's actually like hyper insecure. And just as like using his mouth to run around all of the fear and lack of self-worth that he values himself for. And it's super common in fighting. And that's why you see, like, as soon as Duplessis said something right back to him that got under his skin, he fucking lost it. Because he's actually not all there and mentally sound. And so he's making himself feel better by putting other people down and with his shit talk. But it's, but his, he has the glass house. That as soon as Duplessis threw the rock at the glass house, he just broke and shattered and got hyper emotional, and then obviously got into a fight with him in the crowd because he just couldn't hold back. And that's what men do when they feel weak and they can't do anything. They just want to go to violence to make themselves feel like the more powerful individual.
And Dana's already been pretty clear that he doesn't like that shit. He doesn't like it. I mean, he the sideshow acts, I think, kind of pissed Dana off.
Yeah. Well, also, I think another reason this is happening in our society is because nothing is very shocking anymore, because we consume so much content on a daily basis and we've seen it all. People have said everything. And so to stand out, actually, you have to go to a crazier level. You have to go deeper. You have to say nutso shit, which is what Colby's doing, which is what Sean is bringing up in these press conferences, because that's the only thing that's going to get clipped out is if people have a reaction to it. But nowadays we've seen everything, so you don't have a reaction to as much stuff. So it's not going to go as viral unless you're saying really fucked up shit to somebody. And these people also, we could sit here and psychoanalyze them, but there is a side to it, like you said, where there is a bit of selling. And they also do want to make money and stay relevant and provide for their families. So I do think there is a part that knows that they could feed into all of this and generate hype to stay relevant, to make more money from the UFC or whatever entity it is. So it is this weird combination of things. It's not all one. And it's hard to figure out who is doing it for what reasons. But I do think there is a line. Like, you don't bring up fucking dead...
I don't think you bring up the dead ever. Like,
yeah, that's and it's all in context, right? If the shit talk is like building and going there, but like I don't think Leon was saying anything.
he was just
sitting there, like
fired a nuke.
He seems like the nicest guy.
yeah.
So it's like, obviously, but for example, let's just say like KSI and I were going at it. It's been 6 years.
Who knows what's gonna happen?
Of shit talk.
Oh no!
So it's like, and
but you still would never. Yeah, but you would never say something like that.
No, yeah, I would. I wouldn't. But it is all circumstantial.
It's just tough these days. There's a lot of bleed through from, like you said, selling into real life, and no one knows what the truth is. And also, people are doing things. I know we're strictly talking about the fighting standpoint, but it's kind of all. Isn't it crazy how much that politics have bled into sports and into everything? Like, you see it, like Kobe comes out with the Make America Great Again hat. He's bringing that type of attitude towards it. And I want to just to thumbtack what I was saying earlier quickly, when I bring up all these kind of people who, when I bring them up as examples, are all right wing. I don't want to come off again as a liberal. I'm not. I present myself sometimes on this side. I'm just not
fucking liberal.
I'm just not. But unfortunately, like, because they're fucking crazy too. And by the way, once again, just to bring it back up, they're what produced this. The liberal disorders what produced all of this shit.
So it's a pendulum.
Yes, we talk about it all the time.
It swung so far left, and now we're just kind of seeing the correction on the other side. And that's why I think the majority of content and conversation socially is becoming political or whatever, because naturally humans are making a correction to this like crazy ideology that was running
woke,
the world
woke mind
for
disorder.
Like 3-4 years, yeah. And now it's swinging back to truth.
And you got to look at these guys once again, like Kanye and all of them, and just realize they're smart, dude. Kanye knows what he's doing. He knows what he's fucking doing. He goes on those rants, and every topic he hits is aligned with the current content position. He knows exactly what he's fucking doing. He don't believe that there were pyramids in Kansas. He doesn't. He just knows how to fucking sell records, bro. That's it.
No, and that's where that side of it comes in, where he still has his goals and things he wants to accomplish to stay relevant and sell his album and songs that are coming out. So it is this like weird marketing
ploy
dance that sort of these people are making on a daily basis.
You know who else sells records? Benny Blanco, who's now dating Selena Gomez.
Good for him. Good for him. Benny's
that really upset Twitter.
Why?
There's like this like group of girls that are like protected. Like that, like, no.
Like a species?
No, yeah, like it like really upsets Twitter like when one of them gets a boyfriend. Does that make sense?
She's
a part of, see, like, I don't get into the internet shit. Like, I'm so versed in it, but you guys are like so rose out of it now. But there's this whole like milkman storyline right now on Twitter where like big boob girls are kind of like running the show. Like, what's the chick from bro, I'm deep, bro.
Wait, what?
What's the chick from, does anyone know what I'm saying? Do you know what I'm talking about? Do you know what I'm talking about? The chick from Euphoria, Sydney Sweeney, she's like the biggest thing on Twitter right now because of her. The milkman love her. Do you know what I'm talking about, Sarah? Do you know what I'm talking about? Yeah, like the milkman thing. It's. No, I don't. Twitter just...
Yeah, your Twitter's definitely fucked up,
it's not.
Bro.
Are you on Twitter? If you go on your Twitter feed, you're telling me it's just this clean slate of you don't get shootings and fights and all kinds of weird shit.
I get that.
But no milkman shit.
I don't know about this milkman stuff.
Someone in the audience back me up will pin the comment. You know what I'm talking about. It's like this Twitter obsession niche with that community. So Selena Gomez is one of the milk women.
Oh, wow.
I swear. So she's one of them. So when she toppled to a songwriter who
not just the songwriter.
That's what I was just gonna say. He ain't getting enough. People aren't putting enough respect on Betty Blanco's fucking name, bro.
His discography is. What?
Who cares what he does?
What?
Also,
she should be allowed to date whoever the fuck she wants. You don't know who the fuck he is. Like, bro, he could be the nicest, best guy in the world for
her. Benny's awesome.
Her. Yeah. So it's like people just need to like worry about their own lives, because I think it's the funniest shit when people are worried about like who's this person's dating, who's that person's dating, and they're still broke. Like, go outside and get a fucking job.
Or just touch grass.
Like, bro, that it pisses me off. It's like, and then they're complaining too. It's like the same people who are like, oh my God, she's dating this person. I can't believe it. Consuming 9 hours on TikTok trying to figure out where they were, seeing their pictures. And it's like, those are the same people who are like,
Yes. So I just got notes. Sorry. Thank you, Sarah, who is not only my photographer for Snapchat, my girlfriend, but also one of my research analysts and producers. The drama is he was Justin Bieber's producer.
Yeah, he made a lot of hits with Bieber.
Who obviously Bieber and Selena Gomez had this relationship that I think that fanfic community and also the milkmen were very subscribed to, bro. Was this? I think a lot of times they thought like, oh, are they going to get back together down the line? So the idea that the milkwoman, the idea that Selena Gomez was dating his producer is a storyline that we're getting into some teenage drama shit.
I also want to give a shout out to Benny because he's hilarious, like absurdly talented. Is so much talent.
Can we touch on one more fight thing quickly before we go to anything else? Like maybe this Nicki Minaj Kyson. There's so many topics.
No, I wanted to talk about something less.
Okay.
Less.
But like, can I hit one fight thing? Because I'm a commentator for a fight.
Oh yeah, that is true. Did you know that?
So I saw your tweet. Him
and GSP. I'm sorry that it happened on the same night as your fight, by the way.
I
didn't plan that. It's a thing for me.
Him and George St. Pierre are commenting what's called the Karate Combat.
Karate Combat League. It's a new fighting format, which is basically like a mixed martial arts karate format. You're not allowed to grapple. You're not allowed to clinch unless you're actively striking. And if someone goes to the ground, you have 5 seconds to ground and pound before both fighters are stood back up.
And it's in a conversation pit.
No.
A giant conversation pit.
So it has slanted 45-degree walls that could be used for the combat. You could put other fighters against it, or you can actually jump off of it. And there's no barrier around the ring. And so I got to host this fight the other day, which is the trilogy fight. Pettis versus Benson Henderson. These two guys have fought in the past. Twice, and Pettis won both fights. They fought again, but the undercard for this was some people that have been in the UFC, just all these combat greats. And I got to host it alongside GSP, potentially the greatest combat athlete of all time, potentially, arguably.
Yeah, he's great.
And Bas Rutten, who's another combat sports great. And I got to actually commentate the action as the voice of the casuals. Jacob, and I know that's not your name, but I'm going to call you that. When I tell you this was the fiercest combat I've ever seen in any format in my entire life, boxing and MMA included, the knockout rate is like 70%.
That's crazy.
People were getting pulled out on stretchers. It was a bloodbath. It women covered head to toe in blood.
Is it bare knuckle?
No, same size gloves as UFC.
That's crazy.
What is it, two or four?
4 ounces.
4 ounce gloves. Incredible. And with a and the issue for me is, and I'm and they said I did a good job. I got a lot of love on socials for it, for my job. But it is a sport that kind of belongs to purists. I mean, dude, when you look at karate, you look at some of these like combat sports that come from BC.
Definitely wouldn't call you a purist.
I'm not.
We'll call you a pothead.
I don't smoke weed.
No. Interception? Browns won. Let's go, baby.
Bro, no one cares about the Browns.
Bro, fuck you.
How dare you?
No one cares about Cleveland. That in itself is...
Wow, fuck you.
Wow, that's
You should
crazy.
Die in a hole.
That's Whoa. Crazy to say.
Yeah.
We don't talk about death like that.
Or holes.
Oh, you should die in a hole.
Shout out to everybody in Cleveland right
and,
now.
MGK. And in Cleveland
no,
in
no,
holes.
No, 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 no. Stick by your gun.
No. It's a joke. Well, I was telling my story.
Oh, they almost won the game.
That's crazy.
Oh, that dude's... Oh, man.
He could have caught that.
I mean, do you guys even have food there? Like, Cincinnati has this chili. What do you guys even have there?
We got stuff. We got Five Guys.
Who doesn't?
Yeah.
Like, what food do you guys come out with?
Yeah. The best.
Even like LeBron's from Akron. He's not even from fucking Cleveland.
It's
Akron's
the same general area.
What is Cleveland? What is Cleveland birth besides the Pauls?
Steel. MGK.
Lake Erie.
The Bone Thugs Harmony.
Travis.
Oh
Kelce.
Shit! Bone Thugs might have saved you.
Travis and Jason Kelce. Huh?
Oh really?
Elbows. Yeah.
Elbows are from Cleveland.
The Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Oh, that's true. Ooh. Fuck.
The Russo brothers.
You guys are Marvel directors.
Dude, there's
amazing
some real
fighters
from Ohio.
I mean,
amazing
my whole state just birthed the D'Amelios. That's all we ever had. So I guess. Well, Casey Neistat. So I take my Cleveland slander back. All
right.
It's just it was the karate combat time. You guys got drawn into the sport.
Look, man, I got to ask you. 2023 is coming to a close. 2024 is almost here. Any massive takeaways or lessons you've learned from this year that you'd like to share? And what are you looking forward to in 2024?
Yeah, I think the biggest thing is that focus, sacrifice, hard work, and dedication will never fail you, but alcohol will for sure. No matter how many times you want to try and escape that and convince yourself that it's okay. You know, I think in celebrational moments, a couple times here and there throughout the year, sure, have some wine.
Like last night.
But I encourage all the viewers, anyone around my age, especially if you haven't made it yet or accomplished your dreams, like you should just put it all down. Sober, get sober. Huh. Fucking double down, focus on yourself, intermittent fasting, get your mind right, learn emotional intelligence, meditate every single day. Read some books, put your screen time limits on to 4 hours a day total. And the rest of the time, journal, read books. And losses sometimes could be the best thing for you. And most of the time it is. Mm. For me, it was. It's exactly what I needed. My life, I'm the happiest place I've ever been in my life. And it's stemmed from a series of losses starting the year out. And so just when everything is going wrong or seeming like it's in a bad position, that's where the beauty comes from. And it sounds cliche, but it truly, truly is. And especially if you have that mindset while you're in the shit, which is exactly what I did and had, I was just like, there's going to be something that good that comes out of this. And sure enough, it did. So if you're in the shit right now, just change your mindset and know that something great is going to come from it and that it's not the end of the world. And to focus on your mental health, your state of mind, your physical health, getting your body right. Fitness is the first step to greatness. And I think that's the big key takeaways of 2023, man. And it's been quite a fucking year.
Been a great year, man.
Huge year for
great
you,
year. And that was excellent. I think all of that was golden. And has so much weight to it. So 2024, you got anything you're really looking forward to on the horizon?
Yeah, man, just a lot of big conversations a lot of stuff we've been working on. Obviously, just going to continue to box and stay active. And, you know, that's my bread and butter now. So want to just improve my skill level tenfold and make some of these big fight, close these big fights that are in the talks
Canelo
of happening
this year.
Well, you never know.
That's a true ass statement.
You never know.
You never know.
You never know. Fucking know. And continuing to grow as a man, the journey never ends. I'm going to go back to do some ayahuasca in March. Very excited for that.
Does that scare you at all? Because you made a point a couple moments ago about how greatness can come out of bad times in your life. And I thoroughly agree with that, obviously more than most, that having your back against the wall could lead to insanely good outcomes. But does it bother you or worry you to imagine putting yourself in a situation like that when you're in a very good place of mind?
Ayahuasca is going to give you exactly what you need when you go to take the medicine.
I've seen it. It's not always going to some they didn't need it, bro. I'm telling you. Well, I've seen it give some people some shit they did not need, bro.
Yeah, because they weren't self-aware.
Maybe, but all I'm saying is it's a real deal.
If you're willing to look in the mirror and you actually want to better yourself, actually, which is what I want, then I'm never scared of it. And sometimes, you know, it just makes things more beautiful. A lot of times, like, it was showing me how good I was doing because I'm very hard on myself. So it gave me so much relief. So it was like, dude, you're doing so good. And it was giving me this love. And
I'm scared, man.
Just a general thought.
In general. No, because I've thought about it. But, it's such a real journey. It's like a real.
Yeah, and it never ends, too. It's like once you open Pandora's box, it's like, yeah, sometimes you that's the thing is if you're not willing to take the steps backwards before you go forwards, then yeah, don't do ayahuasca. Because a lot of times you're going to leave like a lot of shit to work on.
Well, if Mike takes a couple steps backwards, he's back in Connecticut slanging crack. And for him, yeah, it's very real. It's very real lapse. He's going to relapse if he does the ayahuasca. Nice. You can't. I can't have him going down that path. I can't.
No, you'd be fine.
No, I know. I mean, you'd dude, listen, fine. Like obviously you'd I have a shit ton of experience with psychedelics. But like, it seems to be like the great psychedelic.
I think
sweet sweet Aya.
I'm way more afraid of mushrooms than I am.
Come on, Jacob.
Ayahuasca.
Come on, mushrooms you can take and go to Whole Foods.
I've had like
you can't go to Whole Foods.
I'm saying like
ayahuasca.
a hero's for a good time. I'm saying like a hero's dose. A hero's dose of mushrooms.
7 grams
is much.
7 grams.
Much. More intense to me than ayahuasca.
So what is then does that mean is your dose a little bit lower than the average? Bro, when I hear these stories, where do you go? Costa Rica?
Yeah.
So when I hear these stories coming out of Costa Rica from some people, maybe not at the camp that you're with, I mean, this is a full-on spiritual expedition that involves major hallucinogenic visions, departure from your body, exploration of other realms. Mushrooms, I mean, you really got to dig deep into a bag of shrooms to get to that point. You can get there. It's 7 to 10 grams. The only other thing I could think that could bring you there is like LSD.
Yeah, both of which do, but that's what I'm equating it to. Like a hero's dose of shrooms to me is like more interdimensional and wild and filled with all this crazy energy and weird, hard things sometimes. It's not. My mushroom trips like aren't really that fun anymore. It's like very introspective.
What about the pooping though?
The what?
Pooping.
It ayahuasca?
Yeah.
Only some people do that. I didn't purge. I think because I release physically like so much energy on a daily basis, like anger, all that stuff. I didn't purge a lot. I didn't puke. I didn't any of that.
Did you?
And not everybody does. It's only about like half of the people.
Oh really? Oh yeah. Yeah.
But also it. It's beautiful. It's not like a weird thing. It's like it's this beautiful experience. Like even when you're there in the Maloca and like you hear other people puking, you're like happy for that. It's this beautiful
because they're releasing bad energy and spirit.
Yeah, and even when I've done toad, bro, I was in my yard the last time.
The toad.
I was in my yard.
Oh, damn, this kid's fucking.
And I was like rolling around in the fucking grass and I like woke up next to a pile of like Thor's shit.
You ate it, didn't you?
And I was like, this is like the most beautiful thing. Like, this is the process of life. And like, that now the grass is going to absorb this and be fertilized, and life continues to grow. And like, you just see things. Obviously, I'm explaining like a psychedelic journey in a few words, but like, you just see things from such a different point of view, and it makes you human and brings back that animal nature that we're so fucking removed from. We're so fucking removed from. And I think it's important for people to really reconnect with that. And that's some of what was beautiful about, you know, what Liver King was trying to do, the ancestral tenets, and like getting in the sun, grounding.
What's going on with him? What's going on with him?
I don't know.
I think there's something.
He had a tough run, man.
What happened with his eye?
Oh, I didn't see that.
Oh, you didn't?
Yeah, I saw that.
Something's going on with his eye.
I don't know.
I feel bad. I feel bad for how things started, because he is just such a sweet man. It was like that steroid scandal really fucking hurt him, bro.
Yeah, and what was sad is that we like the world needed his message, but he didn't need to have a 9-pack for them to like feel his message.
It is a good point. Final note on the stuff that you're talking about, the psychedelic stuff. I'm in the same boat as you. Everything becomes just a part of connectivity. When you walk out of those, and honestly, even that the breath work that you do, that shrooms, any of that type of stuff, any time that I've done it in the past, I always come out of it thinking I'm more connected to the earth and the people around me than I've ever felt before. Exactly. It's just such a connectivity thing.
Yeah.
Why are you saying it like that? Because you're from Connecticut?
I think that's how you say connectivity.
Connectivity?
I don't think that's how you say it. I think there will be a linguistics expert that watches, breaks it down, and makes a 32-minute video that's advertised on YouTube.
Connectivity.
Can we just pull it up and have Siri say it, please? I can do it right now. I'm just interested in
that's the
you could be
remnants of heroin talking right there.
You could really be right. It's just I work with words. Hold on.
Connectivity. That's interesting.
I mean,
If you want to pull up in March and do some ayahuasca, Mike, just let me know.
I will have the discussion with you. I do love you very much. And the person that you've become, I've said this on every single show that you've come on over the past 2 years, just astounded by how much change you've been able to enact in your life and how much hard work you've put in. It is a story of epic proportions. And I could not be more proud of you. And it's there's not many people that come on the show that I can look in the eyes and say, I'm so fucking proud of you and just so taken back by what you've been able to accomplish. And it's just been incredible to watch. So I will consider that offer for sure.
100%. Thank you, man. Appreciate that. And I'm proud of you too.
Thank you, bro.
And I'm excited for the 10 out of 10 burger 10 business, 10 burger. Bro. I need to try it.
It's very good.
I need to try it.
I just had another successful one. It's coming soon. We'll talk about it. We'll talk about it soon. Thank you, though.
That's all I got. I'm obviously overjoyed with how you've evolved as a person and how you've literally just grabbed the success and created it in your life out of thin air and made it yours. To say I'm proud to be your brother is an understatement, and there'll never be words that can describe how significant that is for me. I love you, bro. Congrats on the win. Thanks for coming on today.
Thanks, bro.
Yeah, we love you. Say it back now.
I love you guys. I love you guys more.
That might be true. You're a lover, bro.
I think I do. I think I've loved you guys over like time. I've loved you guys more than you've loved me.
Well, we got to make it up.
No. That's not how love works. It's not a
give to receive.
No, yeah, it's not that.
But when
I say I love you more, I think I could
back
mean
it up.
I think I could mean it.
I think this is the last podcast of 2023. We got a wrap up coming, but for the audience that continues to watch this show and make us just unbelievable hordes amounts of money, just kidding. This show don't make shit.
Zero dollars.
Literally, we do it because we love it, and I think you guys know that and feel it. So thank you for watching. As always, thanks for giving us your energy.
Can we get some feedback? Can we get some feedback if you're watching this? What's your favorite thing about the show? What do you want to see more of in 2024? What type of topics do you want us to discuss? Do you love the Boys Only episodes, the guest episodes, where we go, what we do? Please, that feedback is incredibly important to us, and we will take it into consideration for the next year.
That's right. Last thing I'll say, for all you sorry asses in the U.S. Championship tournament trying to come for my belt, I respect you guys a little bit. I respect what you're trying to do. You're never going to take this from me. Good luck, Kevin Owens, Santos Escobar, Carmella Hayes, whoever the fuck else is in that tournament. if you happen to win and you try to take this off of me, I am going to put you in so much pain. Thank you from your United States champion. 2023 has been great. 2024 is going to be even better. Hit that subscribe button. Thank you for listening to this episode of Impulsive. We love you. Take it easy. Peace.
Traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit EnergyCitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.